winding up.
Amen. Yeah.
And if you don't believe me, tune in to the 6 o'clock news.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. All right. Or 11 o'clock news or CNN. It'll all let you know that time is winding up.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Because we hear things now we've never heard before.
All right.
We see things now that I never knew in my lifetime that I would live to see it.
Yes.
But time
yes.
is definitely winding up.
Yes.
And as a result of that, whatever you're going to
yes.
do for Jesus,
yes.
let's get about our Father's business. And let's do it quickly. Because
yes.
time is winding up.
Oh, yes.
Live, we thank God for you. We appreciate you coming.
Yes.
Those of you on the phone line, we are always excited to know that you're there.
Yes.
And those of you in person, we praise God for you.
Amen.
You're here in the house of the Lord. We honor God for you.
Amen.
Amen. And we pray today as we go into our service that a word will be said that will encourage you on your walk with Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
For you see, it's not about us.
Amen.
It's all about Him.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Join me now as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer in the beginning of this service. Heavenly Father, we stand now in your holy presence.
Yes.
We want to tell you thank you.
Thank you, God.
Thank you for your loving kindness and thank you for your tender mercies. And as we just finished singing, oh God, time is winding up.
Yes.
We realize, oh God, in times like these, we need a savior. In times like these, we need an anchor.
Yes.
In times like these, we need to be sure.
Oh, yes.
And we need to be very sure,
very sure.
that our anchor holds and grips that solid rock.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, this morning, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And we welcome
yes,
your
yes.
spirit in this presence,
yes,
in this
yes.
place.
Thank you, Jesus.
We realize it is not by might nor
oh,
by
yes.
power,
hallelujah.
But it is by your spirit.
Yes.
Father, we ask you to let your Holy Spirit come by here and stay by here.
Yes.
Meet your people at the point of their need. We thank you for a Holy Spirit that reads our hearts, that reads our minds, that reads our very intention. God, you know what your people need today. Have mercy upon us, O God, and do for us what no other power can do. As we stand in your sanctuary, O God, we know we cannot do this by ourselves. We know, O God, if your spirit don't come by, it would be useless of us coming.
Yes,
that's why
yes.
we asking you under the power of the Holy Spirit
oh, yes,
that you will come by
you,
here.
Jesus.
Oh God, visit us with a visitation.
Yes.
Oh God, let us sense your presence. Let us sense your nearness. Let us know that you're with us, oh God.
Yes,
just
God.
Give us a word, oh God.
Yes,
a word that will encourage us.
Yes,
a word that will strengthen us.
Yes,
a word, oh God, that will help us on our way.
Yes,
so we
yes,
wouldn't
Lord.
Get tired. We wouldn't get weary, oh God. But we'll continue doing the
yes,
work
Lord.
That you called us to do.
Yes, Lord.
This morning, God, we bring our pastor before you.
Yes, Lord.
We bring
yes,
our leader
Lord.
Before you.
Yes,
we're asking Lord. You, Father, in the name of Jesus,
yes,
that you will touch his heart,
yes,
you will
yes,
touch
Lord.
His life, you
yes,
will touch
Lord.
His mind,
yes,
and you would bless
Lord.
Him, oh God, with a blessing from on high.
Oh, yes.
Let him speak, God, not as a man, but let him speak as an oracle of God.
Yes. Yes.
Touch his lips
yes.
of clay, oh God. Do, God, for him that which he needs today. We
yes.
ask you, God, that you would
Thank
continue
you.
To bless our pastor and his family. We pray, God, that you would continue to bless the leaders of New Jerusalem Missionary
yes,
Baptist
yes,
Church
yes.
and all of our members connected in whatever way, whatever their needs are, oh God, we thank you for meeting their needs.
Yes.
Bless us now as we wait on you. In Jesus' name, amen,
amen.
And amen.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lord. I am redeemed. Praise the Lord.
I am redeemed.
Give him praise.
I am redeemed.
Give him praise.
I am redeemed. reading this morning comes from Psalms, the 24th chapter, verses numbers 1 through 9. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein.
For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods.
Who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place?
He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully.
He shall receive the blessings of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation.
This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Salah.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Amen. The word of God is already blessed. Remain standing where you are at this time. Our pastor will come for the family prayer.
It is me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Somebody needs you for one thing, somebody needs you for another. We know that our God is still in the blessing business.
Yes, he is. Thank you, God.
This is one of my most exciting periods during the service, besides when I hear that invitation to discipleship, when we get all a chance to get together, touch and agree on one accord, and call on the name of the Lord. As the Bible said, it's power in agreement. Doesn't mean that we don't have to know what each and every person needs, their need is separately. But we spiritually, in our spirit, we're going to agree that whatever Mother Thomas wants, we covered her in prayer.
Yes.
If I need, she covered me in prayer.
Amen.
And what that means, one reason why God tells us, I'm telling you this, so when we pray with faith, pray with anticipation and expectation, because God will move. That's just what he does.
Yes.
Especially these last and evil days.
Yes.
God gave us that scripture to let us know that, one, I listen to you when you get there. You are calling me. He said, one, I put 1,000. He said, but two, I put 10,000. That means it's that more effective when I say, just like you said, my people, I call by my name. They just humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. Then will they hear from heaven, and I'll heal their land. Now, that's the name. You got a problem in your land, but that means your circumstance and situation. So we know that prayer works here in New Jerusalem.
Yeah.
New Jerusalem know how to get some prayers
through. Amen.
I'm a witness in that.
Amen.
So I was so glad we could come back in the sanctuary and pray together.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Let's remember our sister Angela, as she is home from the hospital from COVID. She's doing well. God is good.
Yes.
All the time. Remember the Lamberts, as she goes to the hospital to minister to her mother, let God have his way and let him move on their behalf in every way he decides.
Yes.
God is too wise to make a mistake, right?
Yes.
So we make sure we continue to remember them. Remember all our sick and our shut-ins, everyone that we haven't seen in a while, all right?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Let us pray. Oh Lord, our God, I exalt your name in all the earth. Right now, once again, it's another time, Father God, with just a few of your handmaids, sir, we come together. Father God, we come together right now because we're not ignorant to the fact. We know from which hills our help coming from.
Yes.
Our help comes from you,
yes.
O Lord.
Yes.
You the maker of heaven and earth.
Yes.
You are our creator and our liberator.
Yes.
Father God, we don't come to you because we have a right, but we come because you sent your son to die on the cross to cover us and save us from our sins.
Thank you.
That gives us a right and a privilege to approach your throne boldly.
Yes.
Father God, we don't come because we're all right. We don't come because we did everything you asked us to do this week. We're falling short on every account.
Yes.
We acknowledge before you, Father God, we are nothing without you.
Nothing.
Father God, you are our being and our power. We possess everything we are is in you and through you.
Yes.
Without you, we are nothing.
Yes.
Father God, that's why we thank you that you told us. We love you because you told us you give us new mercies each and every day.
Yes.
We thank you. So that's why we come now, Father God, to ask you, create us a clean heart, renew us the right spirit. And then when you're done there, Father God, we ask you for a fresh anointing. One fills us up from the sole of our feet to the crowns of our head.
Yes.
Father God, right now we beg of you and ask you,
yes,
in spite of our shortcomings, our wickedness, that you don't take your Holy Spirit away from us.
Yes.
Father God, we need your anointing.
Yes.
We ask that you just turn your face away from our blood guiltiness right now.
Yes.
Father God, purge us with hyssop and wash us whiter than snow,
yes,
right now.
Yes.
So Father God, we come right now asking you and thanking you for just being God. We thank you right now for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way. We thank you for our resources, our jobs, our families, and our homes. We thank you. Father God, we thank you for keeping our loved ones safe. Father God, we thank you right now for not letting any harm come to any one of them. And those that are in circumstances and situations, Father God, you are still the Lord. You're standing in the middle of it, and you're making a way out of no way. We thank you most of all for that. Father God, right now we ask if someone's body is sick, if someone's family member is sick, the Bible says that by your stripes we are healed. The Bible also told us that you are a balm in Gilead. We read a story somewhere, Father God, that the woman just touched the hem of your garment and she was made whole because of her faith. Father God, we ask you to allow the hem of your garment to dispense whatever medication or cure that our bodies need. Our families need. Father God, even if we know what it is and we don't know what it is, Father God, we ask you just help us with that. Father God, we know that all sickness are not unto death. And you want us to live a healthy and abundant, prosperous life. So move on behalf of your people, Father God, not just for our sake, but so that we can continue to be faithful to you and build your kingdom here on earth. Father God, right now someone needs a financial blessing. Someone's in the midst of a struggle that we don't know. Father God, the smile is hiding the frown that they want to have. But Father God, we know that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord, our provider. Father God, you got cattle on a thousand hills. Father God, in your house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, you would have told us so. So Father God, right now we ask you just to meet us at our need and supply what we need according to your riches and glory. Father God, we will be sure to, Father God, not selfishly harbor your blessing. But Father God, we'll use it to enhance your kingdom and tell somebody else about the goodness of you, Lord. So Father God, bless your people. If it had been said no, Father God, open up another yes in another area of their life. The doors that have been closed, Father God, open a barn door somewhere. Father God, we know that you know what we need and when we need it. So we ask you just do what you do for us and help us to be faithful while we wait on you. Father God, we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, evil wickedness in high places. Father God, but we also know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to the tearing down of strongholds. So we ask, Father God, that you fight on our behalf in the spirit realm. Father God, we know in the middle of a fight, some people are bound right now, Father God, with something they don't want to be bound with. Father God, liberate them right now. Break every shackle. Right now, destroy every yoke right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, right now, we know that we don't always do what you ask us to do, and sometimes we put ourselves into circumstances and situation. But Father God, we ask you to allow us to learn from that which we've gotten ourselves into. And as you bring us out, Father God, let us come out stronger so we don't go back there again. Bless your people. Father God, bless every head and household under my voice. Father God, and wherever they place their feet, let them claim that it is their ground. Wherever they put their hands to, let it turn to gold. Father God, bless the head of the household. Let peace be in that home. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Allow each individual in that house, Father God, that's under the head of that household, realize that the devil does not like peace. That he is the author of confusion. So Father God, allow them to know that, to give each other the benefit of the doubt. Love, let them know that love conquers all. Father God, rest on that home. Father God,
bless New Jerusalem. Father God, you have started to enlarge our territory. We thank you. We thank you for being better to us than we deserve for you to be to ourselves. But Father God, right now we ask that you bless New Jerusalem. Father God, add to it like you said you would add to the church daily. Father God, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. So we ask, oh Father God, that you increase the workers right now. And Father God, bless us as leaders, Father God, so that we can grow up in you like you want us to. And Father God, mature us in the way you want us to be matured. Make us better, Father God. We know that without you, we are nothing. Allow us to continue to walk humbly before your people and not be harsh taskmasters. Right now, in the name of Jesus, oh Father God, if you just do these few and simple things, if you do these few and simple things, oh Heavenly Father, we won't wait until the storm is over. We won't wait till the rain stop raining, the thunder stop roaring, or the lightning stop flashing. But we ask, oh God, that you give us a spirit of thankfulness in the midst of our circumstance and situation. Yes, let us thank you no matter what. Let us praise you no matter what, Father. Father God, because you are worthy. We thank you. We claim the victory right now. For everyone under the sound of my voice and for those who weren't able to hear my voice, we thank you for them right now. We ask you to bless them. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all who love the Lord say amen,
amen,
amen, and amen. Put your hands together, God, a hand. God.
Come on,
y'all, come on,
come on,
let us.
Keeping us all in each and every way. Amen?
Yes.
And we ought to be thankful for that. Amen. Amen. Every day as we look, we can see how good God has been to us. Because we are not a part of the statistics. Amen?
Amen.
But remember, we have our Bible study at 6 on Tuesday on the phone line. For you that are in the sanctuary, the phone line number is on the back of your program. So it's everything else. Amen. Got the methods of giving for people that's on the line, that's not able to give in person. And the mission dialing is also there. Amen. Amen. So keep up with your church program so that way Sister Martha won't have to text it to you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for that. This evening, Reverend Lyles will be at 7 p.m. And you got that text this morning. She'll be Florida General Baptist Convention. She'll be on that's the guest keynote speaking, the Hour of Power. I think that's a blessing, y'all.
Amen.
That's really a blessing. We're asking you that you wear red. If you're going to be on Zoom, if you're going to Zoom in, wear something that's red. So you'll be sure that you're part of Seaboard and we're supporting her. Amen? I will make sure I be at 7 p.m. Nobody else going to be on that line. Everybody else, New Jerusalem, should be on the phone or listen on Zoom. Or watching Zoom and listen on the phone to that, right?
Yeah.
That's one of our own, okay? Just be sure, be no reason. It's one of our own. We should do it. I expect to see everybody on there. I won't miss it for the world. I'll be on Zoom, so you can't. I can't stand me beating my chest. Because she's one of ours, y'all. And God is good. Amen? She's an awesome woman of God. We thank God for her. Amen. Amen. Okay, like I said, Sister Angela, she's home. Thank God for that. God keep keeping her. So, you know, she threw us apart and sick and shut in. She still is, but she is recuperating. God is faithful, though. You know that?
Yes.
He's faithful. He
is a faithful God. I want y'all to get explained that to y'all, because I know so many people. I say it a lot around. I say it much time and as much as I can around in my secular activities, and I have to go to the explanation. I don't have to go to explanation church, but they say, okay, you can say that. I understand why you're saying, because that person is doing better. I still say God is faithful if that person wasn't doing better. Yeah, y'all remember the class I taught? Yes. If God decided to deliver on this side of glory, uh-huh, right, then that's okay. But guess what? Because they left, and now you're sad, they just didn't get delivered here. They got delivered over there. Y'all got me? God is still faithful, because a child of God's last breath here is their first breath there. So they, either way, God has ways of choosing to deliver. We ought to still be thankful anyway.
Amen.
Okay? Because guess what? We can't get mad at God, because he is the righteous judge.
Amen.
When we leave here, we still got to go stand before who? Not your homeboy, your homegirl. You got to stand before God. So be thankful anyway. Amen? That's what I'm saying. I didn't want to go to a long dissertation, but I need to let you know we ought to be thankful no matter what the circumstance or situation.
Amen.
As you back down there, Brother Amoson.
Amen.
Good to see you back there. Coming back in the sanctuary. And I see Brother Norris. You stay faithful. You're one of our newest members. You and your family here again today. I don't care if your toe hurt, come to church. When you let the devil trick you. Because the devil mad because you all come to church. Okay? You're not gonna let the devil go missing. You ought to be defiant. Come to fight with the devil. Okay? And you can see in the message today what I'm talking about. We need to put some fortitude on and put our fighting clothes on. That's the armor of God. Because we soldiers. And we don't, just because we became Christians and we are being faithful, don't mean we're always going to have blue skies.
Amen.
Right? Amen. That don't mean everything always going to be good. So I just want y'all to stay faithful. Don't give up. Okay? I'm not going to let you give up. And that's why I'm calling y'all, Brother Norris, because I'm going to pass it on you. Make sure you be okay, you and the family. Amen?
Amen.
So we got Revelize this tonight. We got the Zoom information and the phone tonight at 7 p.m. Make sure you are on post with that. Make sure that we do our Bible study. Amen? And let's stay faithful. Pray for those that we have not seen come back into the sanctuary yet, because many of them are on the line right now and on Facebook. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I didn't see any visitors, so I welcome everybody else, even some of y'all back in the sanctuary. So we're good to go. I didn't forget anything, did I, Sister President Marshall?
No.
I did? I forgot.
No, you didn't forget.
I forgot anything.
Oh, that's okay. Good morning, family. To God be the glory. Again, you know, I'm standing before you because Pastor's anniversary is just around the corner. Sunday, October the 10th, with Moderator Reverend Dr. Carl Johnson and 93rd Street Community Baptist Church will be our guests and carrying on the services. So if you don't mind, if you will just stay for about 5 minutes after the service, we'll go over a few little things we want you to know in our preparation. So if you would just remain after you fellowship with one another, just for a few moments, and we'll kind of bring you up to date on what our plans are. Thank you so much. To God be glory.
I saw a young lady who she hadn't been there for a very long time. Brother Anderson, I see she left. Make the walker to make sure she's okay. Brother Anderson, just to walk to access, everything okay? Because I tell the pastor, I know that she walked out. She might have an emergency, but check, make sure she's okay. And she's able to drive away. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, it's offering time.
Praise the Lord.
The Bible says, bring your tithes into the storehouse so there be meat in my house. It says, prove me not, child of God. And see that I open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. It's biblical. God is good to us. He says that bring your tithes. Only I ask you for a tenth. Bring your tithes into the storehouse. And he said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake.
He said, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. New Jerusalem, we are well taught ministry. We know about tithing and giving, and we do that, and that's why God always works things out to our good. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let us bless this offering in advance before we give. Oh, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for all things great, all things small. We thank you for life, health, and strength. Father, right now we ask you to bless your people that we are about to give unto you. Father God, we understand everyone has a different circumstance and situation, but Father God, we're going to walk by faith and not by sight and call those things that are not as if they were. We thank you, Father God, for being a Jehovah Jireh in the life of your people. I come against and I speak against the spirit of poverty and failure in the lives of your people right now. Father God, turn the circumstance and situation around. You know what they need and you know when they need it. So Father God, we ask you to bless your people right now. Father God, give them the desires of their heart. But Father God, most of all, let us learn to seek you first, the kingdom of heaven, so all other things will be added unto us. If you do these few and simple things for us, oh Father God, we'll be coming to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everyone say amen.
Amen,
amen and amen. Quiet yourself, music, usher, please. Thank you. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. It's not my desire, if God said, saying, to hold us long. It's
So you go home, eat your food, take your nap, and wake back up before 7 o'clock. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Let's pray. Lord our God, I ask in your name in all the earth. Father God, right now we stand behind the holy roster once again to proclaim your holy and living word. Father, we are unable to understand it or teach it by ourselves. So we ask you to allow your Holy Spirit to come on in and exhibit his perfect teaching and preaching ministry right now in the name of Jesus. And do what it does for all of us all the time. It's revealed you to us. Father God, come in and speak to your word. Draw back the drapes of misunderstanding. Father God, we need wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Father God, we want to be a learned child of God. We want to be able to know the deep insights of your word. So right now, in the name of Jesus, make your word plain enough so that a child can understand it. We realize, oh Father God, that the things of you, God, and your word are foolishness to the world. But Father God, you make them known to us. They're hidden treasures to us. So Father God, speak to our heart right now in the name of Jesus. I'm unable to do it by myself, but use me in spite of me. Hide me behind the cross. Use me to do what you've called me to do. Allow me to sit down so you get on up. Give me a good time in you, Father God. Father God, let me deliver this message to them so they may be encouraged, oh Father God, in the baddest of times, in the worst of times, to know that when they cannot find you or when they cannot trace you, they can trust you. So bless your people right now. Bind saints, he goes to and fro, trying to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people. Anoint your mind and see the fresh. And whatever's accomplished in this setting, O Heavenly Father, we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your people, period. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord. And we know that God's word is already blessed. Amen. New Jerusalem, here in seedy form, is the gospel of salvation through the grace of God. Here we can see the first stitch in the scarlet thread of redemption that courses its way through the entire Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. The Latin phrase proto-evangelium, and that's the tag and topic I'm going to give you this morning, the proto-evangelium, which means the first gospel or the first good news. It's a combination of two Greek words. It is preached at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the proto-evangelium. The Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses, he writes for us the creation story of how God created every beast of the field, every fowl of the air. How God, by just speaking a word, every living thing God created. And then he created it after its own kind. And then God created man in his own image, y'all, and his own likeness. Then he breathed the breath of life into him.
and man became a living soul. And God gave man Adama. He gave Adam Adama. That's the privilege of naming every living thing. But Adam did not have, Brother Norris, a suitable name. Adam did not have a suitable counterpart. So God caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam and took from his side a rib and created woe man. So Adam and Eve lived together in the Garden of Eden that God had planted for them. In perfect union, in complete harmony one with another. They were ignorant but happy. Ignorant not in terms of foolish, but ignorant in terms of completion and having been totally complete in the knowledge of God. They needed no information.
Yes.
God took care of them. God fed them. He provided for them everything they needed. God provided, so they were in perfect ignorance because God had given them a prohibition.
Right.
He said to the man, of every tree in the garden, you shall freely eat, except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So, Satan comes in the form of a serpent. Satan speaks to the one who was not given the prohibition. He speaks to Eve, the weaker of the two. She has not been given any instruction. God has given Adam instruction. Eve saw that the fruit was pleasant to the eyes. It was good to eat, and it was desirous to make one wise, according to the serpent. And Eve willingly ate. Nothing happened, y'all, when Eve ate. Why? Because Eve was not given any instructions by God. Her husband was. Now here comes along Adam. And he willingly eats of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. All of a sudden, Brother Anderson, chaos ensues. Everything that was in order is now in disorder. For God now reverses everything that he had put into place. So God comes looking for them, walking in the garden in the cool of the day.
Yes, yes.
As were their usual fellowship. But this day, when God comes looking for them, this day, they are hiding. God said, Adam, Adam, where art thou, Adam? Not because God does not know where Adam is. Because there's nothing God cannot know. He's God, right? Adam, where are you? He's asking Adam that in terms of, not of his geographical location, but Adam, where are you in terms of our spiritual fellowship? Because the last time I met with you, Adam, you are able to talk to me face to face. But now you are hiding from me, Adam. Adam says, Lord, I am hiding because I am naked. God said, naked? Who told you you were naked?
Well,
Adam does like a natural man.
Yeah.
Remember, I told you things started shifting.
Right.
He shifts the blame. That woman,
that woman you gave me. Then the woman blames the serpent. Then God meets out. He deals out judgment on Adam and Eve because of their sin. But in the midst of that tragic judgment, Sister Amy, God gives the proto-evangelium. Mm-hmm. The good news of hope. The first gospel. God gives them the first mention of his plan for redemption. Yes. In this verse 15, he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, talking to Satan now, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise, crush the head of the serpent. Walk with me through the text, y'all. The serpent shall bruise his heel. Right. In this declaration of salvation, there is the personality of the promised land. The personality of the promised land, right in this one verse. The personality of the promised land is that he is unique in his origin. Y'all heard that?
Yes.
He's unique in his origin. I want you to get that. The seed of the woman, that's unique. That is Bible talk, y'all. That's Holy Spirit speech. The seed of the woman. I want to drop that into the spirit now. The seed of a woman. The woman does not have a seed.
All right. Amen.
I say the woman does not have a seed. The seed comes from the male of the species. The seed is planted in every male of the species. Because the woman can only produce after being impregnated by the seed. The seed comes from the man. But right here in the scripture, I'm in the text, it says the seed, not of the man, but of the woman. Didn't it say that? This is just like Isaiah chapter 7 and 17, foretelling of the virgin birth. This is just like pre-announcing Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38, of Gabriel's announcement that a virgin shall be bring forth a son. That's Bible talk, y'all. Because virgins don't bear children. I'm in the book. The seed cannot come from the woman because she has a womb that receives the seed. Allow me to explain that in another way. The woman is a receiver. I said the woman is a receiver. Are y'all with me? The woman is a receiver. I don't have to go there, do I? Guess what? I'm going to go there. Okay, I will. She followed me down there, y'all.
Amen.
The man and the woman fit perfectly together. Because one of them gives the seed and the other receives the seed. Anything other than that is ungodly. I'm in the Bible. I'm just giving you pro Bible. Right here in the text, the seed of the woman, which means Christ could not have been born from the seed of a man. Because inherent in the seed of men is the sin nature. And since Christ is incapable of sinning, Joseph could not be his father. The Holy Ghost came upon Mary, and she was pregnant, not from Joseph. Because they were still engaged. The Holy Ghost overshadowed her and placed her in a perfect, sinless seed that came from God the Father himself. What is born of Mary, the Bible says, is of the Holy Ghost. It is God in human flesh that is unique. That the creator of the entire universe, y'all, would become an embryo. Y'all with me? That God himself would lower himself, reduce himself, to become the seed in a teenage girl's womb. That is called revelation, path been studied. Kenosis, self-emptying. Kenosis means the self-emptying. God poured himself out. He lowered himself because we could not come up to where he was. So God came down to where we were. We owed a debt we could not pay. So he came to pay a debt he did not owe. He is unique in his origin, the seed of the woman, but in that personality, he is also unique in his occupation. Wow. He's unique in his occupation. Walk with me, Brother Lord. The Lamb was coming not to show us a better way. He was coming not to improve our environment. He was coming not to improve our social standing. He was coming to defeat evil in the flesh. Yes. Jesus is not someone you add to your life. Jesus is not some additive or commodity that you attach on your life to make it better. Jesus has to become your whole life. Jesus has to become your whole life. Jesus is not a part of the truth, y'all. Like the New Age philosophers trying to tell us. Truth comes from Buddhism. Please. Truth comes from Shintoism and Taoism and impersonal idealism and evolutionism. That's all pure nonsense. I've studied it. It's nonsense. Truth can only come from God himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Do you remember when Jesus was standing before Pilate? Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Pilate was not interested in the answer. He was just intrigued by the question. And many people who come to church or listen or watch us on their mobile devices, Sister Morrison, they are not interested in the answer. They're just intrigued by the question. If they are, if they were just intrigued by the question, they would not stay so far away. I don't mean because you socially watching it. I'm talking about when it comes to the things of God, you keep God away as if you get too close to what God is doing, you're going to get a bug or something. You're going to get infected or something. Let me help you. The Holy Spirit does not come to catch you. You come to get more of him. You can't catch the Holy Spirit. He has to grab and arrest you. He has to grab and arrest you. Or else you will never be fit for kingdom service. Because Jesus did not come to do renovations. Y'all walk with me now. Jesus did not come to do renovations, Brother Emerson, but to tear you down altogether. You don't need a renovation. You need to be torn down from the floor up to your head, from your head up to your body, your feet. The reason some of us will never get saved, listen to Sister Barnes, is because they think there's some part of them still some good.
Right.
The Bible says here, it's none good. No, not one. Nobody's good. Our righteousness, Isaiah says, is like filthy rags.
Amen.
No matter how dressed up you are this morning, you're not even worthy to call on his name. His mercy and grace is sufficient. All that I have, all that I will ever be is wrapped up in the fact that Jesus came to defeat evil on my behalf. I'm glad about it. The church is not a place for rehab.
All right.
The church is a place to get completely tore down altogether.
Yeah, well, well.
Many people will not come to church to hear this kind of preaching. Because they just want something to make them feel good. Because the gospel is supposed to ransack your life. Y'all hear me? Let me see, can I make that a little plainer? When thieves break in your house, if you left your valuables on the table, they would not have to search through all the drawers. They would not have to tear up everything if you left all your valuables on the table. That's why they ransacked the place. Because they're looking for something of value. When the Spirit of God comes to save us, the value was not just laying around on the table. Are y'all with me? We don't even realize we got the job. The Holy Ghost got to tear something up. He's got to mess with our environment, get us out of our comfort zone. If you think you're supposed to come to God and be all nice and comfy, cozy, no. You don't want to follow God if you think you just don't want no change and you just want to be uncomfortable. No, you want to be better. That means he's got to shake up your world. What I like about it is when I see my world getting thrown, tossed to and fro, I say, God, what you up to now? Because once you walk a little while with God, you begin to know. You don't know all his thoughts. You don't know all his ways. But you know his character and his principles. And you know when he starts to do something, something better get ready to happen. Why, Pastor, let me make it clear. Pastor, why you got to mess with me? I'm willing to do whatever you said. No, you got some stuff you don't even know you got in you that need to be surgically removed. God said, guess what? God said, I'm going to tear up your pride. I'm going to tear up your self-importance.
That's right. Come on now.
I'm going to tear up some of them ugly ways you got. He says, because the value was inside, have to come out.
Yes.
So I gotta remove self from you.
Yes.
And some of us, we stubborn. We know we stubborn. Can I say this? Can I say we stubborn as hell?
Yes.
Some of us, God, Brother Norris, God just gotta touch us with a little feather. But some of us, God gotta hit us with a brick.
Yes.
I'm saying, I've come to the point, in this point, right now, where I am with God now, because I thought I knew me some Jesus. But the every day gets sweeter and sweeter, and I've come to the point saying, anywhere you bless me, I'll be satisfied. Created me and make me over anew. I just want to stay on the wheel so that he makes me be better at what I'm doing for him. Because see, naturally, I'm no good. I wish I had a witness here. I'm because we all know good. God had to ransack us. The Lord is still tearing up some of us right now. The Lord is still pulling some stuff down in me. He's still ransacking some stuff. Now, I speak for myself. Because I've been saved, Sister Morrison, over 35 years, Reverend Lyle. But the Lord is still tearing up some stuff. Pulling down some stuff. To make me in the image of his son, Jesus Christ. I told you he came with a unique origin. A unique occupation. That's the personality of the Lamb of God in the proto-evangelium. Now I want you to see the purpose of the Lamb. I want you to see the purpose of the Lamb right in this one verse. The scripture says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman.
Yes.
Jesus comes as a warrior king.
Yes.
Walk with me through the text.
Yes.
Jesus comes as a warrior king.
Yes, he does.
Enmity, that word brings up the notion of warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual warfare has to take place in order for Jesus to be our warrior king. Because without Christ, we are the enemy of God. Yeah, but you say, I'm so good. I don't do nothing. I really don't got to go to that church. Matter of fact, I act bad in some of the church. John said, choose you this day.
That's right. Yes.
Whom you may serve. There's no middle ground, y'all. There's no demilitarized zone. Choose you this day. Whom you may serve. Just as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You can serve God back in Egypt where you work. But choose you this day whom you may serve. The more I study the word of God, I'm amazed at the weak, anemic pictures of Jesus. Some of the artist's conceptions show him as a blue-eyed, 80-pound weakling. He all thin, please. Who comes to sprinkle fairy dust on everybody and make everybody feel good about themselves. Can I get a witness in hell?
Yeah.
Jesus did not come here to make us feel good about ourselves.
Amen.
Jesus did not just come to grant you every wish of your prayer. Yeah. Jesus came saying you got to separate from your mother and your father. Yeah. Jesus said you got to separate from your brother and your sister. Because if you love them more than you love me, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. It's a priority. God first, family. Y'all with me?
Yes.
Can I go even further? God first, not a spouse next. God first. God first, you second. God said, I've come to separate fathers from their sons, mothers from their daughters. You have to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and righteousness, so that all these other things can be added unto you. You have to put your desires aside. Lord, have mercy. You have to put your wishes away. You have to put your dreams on the back burner and say, I am thine, O Lord. I have heard your voice, and it told thy love to me. You know what I'm talking about, Sister Thomas? And I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. That's warfare.
Yes.
Sometimes God has to fight with me.
Yeah.
Y'all listen to me?
Yeah.
Brother Hussein, sometimes God got to fight with me to make me who he wants me to be. Because most of the time, I want things my way. I want to do what I want. I want to have what I want. Not only is Jesus fighting the devil, Jesus has to fight me to help me.
Amen.
To those of you who think you are pretty good, I'm not talking to you. I'm just talking to people like me. I'm talking to some of us who are still stubborn. Some of us who know better and we do it anyway.
Amen.
Some of us who read the Bible and we still stumble and fall.
Amen.
That's spiritual warfare.
Yes.
I have read this and studied this, but I have not experienced it until I had my own spiritual battles. So I say to you now, you cannot preach what you don't live. You can get happy on somebody else's testimony. But it does not come close to you until you experience it for yourself. Satan had just about to convince me one day that God had been unfaithful. Satan said, you've been preaching his word. You've been pastoring his people. If he loves you like you have been preaching, why is your relationship and your family structure falling apart? Used to be in control. I'm used to being in control. Looks like, say, looks like you're losing control. Used to be able to fix everything, say. Don't look like God is helping you fix this. Satan will also make you try to get others to help you. And you will have good people help you. But because you're so wounded from the battle, from the fight, you isolate your closest allies. I don't know who my preaching is. It is called spiritual warfare. In the midst of the battle, you have to continue to do what you are called to do. Even though you in the middle of the battle, you still got to do what you're called to do. That's not easy. All those around you will not realize the battle that you're in has wounded you. Because they will just think, like you always do, do what you do. You continue to watch what you're called to do. You continue it no matter how bad the wounds are. You're always okay. Oh, she okay, he okay. Don't not know nothing about him. Can I use a second artist? Smokey Robinson said, my smile hides the tracks in my tears. You always have it together, Brother Norris. They will not even care to notice because they just need you to do what you've been called to do. That's right. You say you are a Christian, so now you're faced by your arch enemy, the devil. I can't believe God left you in this predicament, the devil said. I can't believe it. I struggle with that because the reason why I struggle with it, Reverend Lassie, because Satan don't come to you until you're vulnerable. He ain't coming to you when everything's going right. He is a worthy adversary. He will come to you when you're vulnerable and whisper in your ear that God not all that he say he is. I was so beat down, y'all, one time. I was in the middle of this crisis that I had a hard time praying. I mean, I know some of y'all are super Christian. Y'all never been like that. But I shared my situation. Thank God Reverend Lyles was around. I shared my situation. If you dare tell anybody about your fight, you better be sure they are real saints of God and know how to get a prayer through.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all hear me?
Amen.
I'm telling you about the warfare and the proto-evangelium. I did not feel like praying, so she prayed. Then she gave me a word. She ain't gonna let you go without giving you a word. Well, you say you're the pastor. You're the pastor. You preach it. That sounded like one of those messages right there you preach, Doc. Like, I wasn't trying to hear that. But when I hung up that phone, my soul began once again. Watch me, Sister Thomas. Like the deer panted for the water, my soul began to pant for my communion with my God again.
Yes.
I didn't say my circumstance was over. But when you get in touch with the right source, and God sends someone your way, or God speaks to you out of heaven, you will remember whose you are, what you are, and who bought you with a price. I'm trying to get out your way. I will bless the Lord.
At all times.
Yeah. His praise will continually be in my mouth.
Yeah.
I'm more than a conqueror.
Yes.
And I got really Paul crazy on him. The devil said, oh boy, I done messed up now.
Yes.
I am persuaded.
Amen.
Neither life nor death, angel nor principality, this things present or things to come, nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. My faith and your faith and your steadfastness in God should start to come back. Because you ain't the first battle God had to handle. Matter of fact, what you're going through ain't nothing new. You just don't know about it, but you ain't special. We all in a fight. God been delivering Lazarus for a long time. He been rolling the stone back and telling Lazarus, come forth out of that mess for a long time. The same God yesterday, today, and forever. Because God is a provider.
Yes, He is.
Yeah, He is. He's a provider. The Lord is a friend that's sticking closer than a brother.
All right.
God had to remind me that He was grooming me and remaking me for the next level of my walk. He said, you thought that surgery, son, was painless? Who do you know wake up from surgery and don't feel no pain? He said the surgery was beneficial for you and you need it, but you got to feel some pain. But he said, I gave you some medication, my child. I said, what medication you gave? He said, I gave you an anesthesia. I said, who's that? He said, the Holy Ghost. He leads and guides you into all truth. He'll come to you in the midnight hour when nobody else is around, and He'll minister you while you hanging your feet off the edge of the bed and don't know which way to turn. Guess what? I don't need a friend to stick closer to the brother, because what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and our griefs to bear. What we miss is we fail to carry everything. Not just everything. To God in prayer. God will remind you how much you cost. I want to let you know the reason why God told me to bring this message, because He said, I can make a contract at the beginning of time in the book of Genesis on what sacrifice I'm going to make for you. You must mean a whole lot to me. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How can you read that and not think that God has forgotten about you? God knows exactly where you are right now. Can I get a witness in here? The Bible tells me to say, what good, great sacrifice a man that it would be, that a friend that would lay down his life for a friend. How many homeboys and homegirls you got said they will go to jail and die for you? Can I get a witness in here? None of them can do that. But guess what? You got a friend called Jesus. You got a friend called Jesus. And you need to know how to get Jesus on the main line, Sister Thomas. And just tell Him what you want. The Bible said you have not because you have not. But guess what? I've learned a little secret. And Pastor, tell you something. He really don't have to give Pastor what he asked for. All God got to do is break me off a little something, something. That lets me know that while I wait in the midnight hour, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagle. Y'all ain't hearing me. They say young men will fall aside. Young men will quit running. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. By thinking He would not do what He said He would do for me. So I got a crazy attitude now, Brother Norris, Sister. What I do is I have gotten a nevertheless attitude. A nevertheless attitude means that
He might not do exactly what I asked him to do. But if breath is still on my body, the devil think he come from hell, but he gonna catch some hell. Because I'm gonna keep smiling, I'm gonna keep praying. And y'all don't try to trick me, devil. Try to make me compromise and do something I shouldn't do. Because I know I'm not perfect, and I know I got new mercies each and every day. But I will not let you trick me in feeling that I don't deserve the many, many blessings God is getting ready to give me. Can I get a witness here? Because God has my name on stuff. Even I haven't done the right thing yet. All I got to do is there's a blessing in obedience, y'all. The proto-evangelium, the first mention of the gospel. I had someone ask me the other day, stand to your feet, stand to your feet. Pastor, I heard someone on the radio, and you know me in the last days. I heard someone on the radio talking about the New Testament ain't no good no more. I mean, the Old Testament, that's done away. All we're supposed to be going by the New Testament. I said, tell me who told you that. I heard from the preacher on the radio. I said, okay. First of all, I gave them an explanation of a false preacher. Or like we say, jackleg.
Yeah, yeah.
What I just gave you, wasn't that in the Old Testament?
Yeah.
That was pure gospel, right?
Yeah.
So how can we do away with the Old Testament? If we did away with the Old Testament, how are we going to do it? Why did Jesus come?
Amen. All through the Old Testament.
The Bible is literal. It proves itself. We don't have to listen to it. We can just stand firm on what God said. Take the word of God and be excited about it.
Amen.
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 It's true. And get yourself in these last evil days. The Bible said even the elect of God. The very elect of God can be confused and tricked.
That's right. That's right.
So the Bible says that. What just mean you lay people trying to study the Word of God? That means you should know God's Word enough and be taught it enough. I shouldn't just be hollering and screaming at you. I should be teaching some word that when someone says something, you say, that don't sound right. That don't sound right. You don't agree with your spirit. That don't sound right. Then you go to the Bible looking at it. Everybody don't respect you, pick up the Bible. And if it don't sit in your spirit, amen?
Amen.
Amen. We extend the invitation to discipleship. Maybe there's someone who don't know the Lord as their personal Savior. The Bible says now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. When you hear God calling to you, you hear Him knocking at your heart, you heard the Word of God and you don't know God, that's God calling to you, speaking to you. Someone said that word to stir you. He said, harden not your heart. The Bible said, no one will go to judgment without knowing the Word of God. Know who God is. We're in the last days because that cannot be accomplished. How has it got accomplished? Because before, we didn't have internet, we didn't have cell phone. You can hear and see the Word of God in the remotest parts of the world. The Word of God is going forth. Give your life to God. He'll turn your life around and you'll come into that contract that He said that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. If you know the Lord and you have not been doing what God asked you to do, and you haven't been faithful, don't beat upon yourself anymore. God said, you forgot about me, but I didn't forget about you. He said, come back to me. Rededicate your life to me. And we'll walk down this King's Highway together. He said, I'm on my way back. If you're looking for a church home and you don't have a church home, maybe there's somebody who don't have a church home, we ask you just, if you're on the phone lines, you can just reach out to me. My cell phone number is there. Come and join us, be with the people of New Jerusalem. This is a church where our worship is passionate and the Word of God is powerful. So we ask that you just join up with the people of God. Is there one today? Thank you. something was said that would encourage you on your walk down the Christian highway. Amen?
Amen.
God is good. Take the word of God. Look back over it. Amen. Amen. God is a good God. We have refreshments and food in the back for the birthdays for the month of September. So don't you leave this place until you get you some of that food that's back there in the back. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, it smells good too. Boy, that was actually cooking, huh? And also, yeah, wait before you go in the back, wait for a few minutes, Sister Morris, and say that she would like to speak with you. Okay? Let us stand so we can be dismissed.